I was in this beautiful place and I just felt all of this tension of choice. Man, we live in a really privileged time in history, in a very good place in the world, and to be complaining really feels like a disservice to the privilege that I've been given in my life.
From The Bridge 90.9, I'm Jonathan Bender, and this is Mixtapes and Mixology, a podcast that mashes up the Kansas City music and cocktail scene. We take one track from a local artist and give it to a local bartender and ask them to make us a drink based on how the song makes them feel. Along the way, we dive into the world of that band, that bartender, and that cocktail. For today's episode, we paired Jessica Page's Beautiful Life and Boulevard Tavern's Casey Bond. Today we're joined by Jessica Page in The Bridges Studios. Jessica, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So I really think you've had this amazing journey for somebody who is not that old. You've had ups and downs and really the career arc of somebody who feels like they've been doing it a lot longer, which maybe is in part because you've known what you've wanted to do for a long time.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time with my grandma when my parents would go to work. She had a piano and I would just sit and like plunk around on it. And she played, you know, fairly well. Not that she ever really taught me. So I would just like sit down and make some things up. And it was around middle school, I learned how to play chords and started making up little ditties and stuff.
Her grandmother's piano was in Wamego, Kansas. In the 1990s, it was a town of less than 4,000 people, where farmers gathered at church for potluck dinners.
My friends and I would make up lyrics all the time, and I think they were like token young angsty tween type lyrics. Our parents don't understand us, and you know, this boy is flirting with me over there, and but very innocent kind of thing. I remember we had a trampoline, and my friends and I would go out and jump on this trampoline, and we would just like make up songs the entire time. So, and they were just, you know, random stuff, but.
So is it like Sweet Valley High, the musical?
Yeah. Babysitter's Club, the musical.
Right.
Yeah.
In middle school, Paige would head to her basement where she had a karaoke machine and dreams of being Shania Twain or Faith Hill. She found herself drawn to Martina McBride, a woman from another small town in Kansas.
She's this tiny woman who has this incredible voice, and she got on stage and sang with such passion and joy. And I was like, man, that's just all I want to do. I just want to get on stage and I want to sing for people and bring them joy.
And so after high school, you do what everybody does and go and spend a year in Ireland?
Yeah, you know, just what everybody. I feel like everybody should take a year off and go to Ireland and find themselves a little bit.
Yeah. And so it was a journey of discovery. What led you there and what happened while you were there?
Well, when I was like 14, I was huge into books and I read a lot when I was a kid, and I was just fascinated with Ireland because I have some Irish heritage in my bloodline. And so I went to Ireland and I was only supposed to be there for like 2 months, and I came home to go to college and do the thing, and I was in classes for like 2 weeks, and my gut was just like, no, this isn't it. You need to go back. There's things for you to do there. Like, you, this is not where you need to be right now.
Those things, learning songwriting, finding the story she wanted to tell, and picking out a guitar, took a full year.
I was using Ireland to escape a lot of problems, and I didn't want to have to deal with them. I think that we all have a lot of inner struggles that sometimes are easier to run from than to face head on. And when I went to Ireland, you just can't run away from your problems. Wherever you go, you're going to be there, and so are those problems.
What were some of those struggles that you were facing?
Taking a non-traditional path in a very traditional environment is not easy. It's hard to walk away from comfort and security, and to do, as even in a community that supported me as much as my hometown did, choosing to pursue music is really challenging because you're saying, hey, I'm going to give up this thing that if you follow these paths, you will get success eventually. There is no guarantee in music that you'll be successful. You just show up to work and you hope it works out.
So you return from Ireland and you're reunited with your grandmother, but in a really different context.
Yeah, I came home and she had the beginnings of dementia. She was 93. The option was put her in a home or I could take care of her. And so I moved in and I really like deeply thought I was only going to be there for a year. And then the year goes by and her dementia continues to deteriorate and it requires more and more work to take care of her. About 2 years in, she really didn't even recognize who I was anymore. And so you can imagine what it's like having somebody you know, like, not know who you are. It's really emotionally difficult.
And especially at that age. I mean, yeah. You are young and still figuring yourself out.
Yeah, I moved in with her when I was 19. So I was fairly mature, even for a 19-year-old, I like to think, at least. But yeah, you really can't understand. I don't think at any age you would walk into that situation and have any idea what it will require of you.
It must be all-consuming.
She was one of my closest people. She was my person. We had kindred spirits greatly, and spending so much time together as a child, like, it was very difficult to watch somebody slowly die. It's like having a 100-pound child. I honestly think it's the best like life choice I've ever made. The things you take away from something like that, being there when somebody dies, it just changes you forever. This little light bulb goes off.
So while you're both struggling with and coming to terms with what's happening with your grandma, American Idol comes into your life. It's just such a, you know, a strange contrast in some respects, but also maybe part of how everything happens. I don't know how you see it, but I'm curious because that in itself is such a singular experience.
Yeah, I mean, American Idol came around right when I started taking care of my grandma. Actually, twice. So it started right when I started taking care of her, and then it came back around the time when I started to realize what it was to be taking care of her. And the thing about American Idol is it makes you, they want to sell who you are. And an inherent part of that question is, who are you?
At that time, Paige was still figuring out her something. She competed on American Idol's 7th and 8th seasons, the 7th being the season that David Cook won, reaching Hollywood both times before being cut.
I think that I was really discouraged from the music industry from that experience, though. I definitely thought growing up that I wanted to be famous. I was like, oh, I want people to know me and things. And that completely changed my attitude on fame. I'm like, I really don't care all that much about being famous. I would really like to be true to who I am. Like, and if fame comes along with it, then that's cool. But I am absolutely not willing to do this thing that other people are willing to do to get societal accolades.
So I guess moving forward with your story, in 2013, your grandmother passed away at the age of 98.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you know, at a certain point, it's better for them, and it just is time, you know.
But in part, too, that's also, it feels like when you began to know who you were and started working on your first full-length EP.
Yeah, I felt like I lost a lot of time in my career and I wanted to chase it back down.
So as you start that chase, though, I mean, something unbelievable happens to you where you're wakeboarding on Lake Lackawanna.
Yeah.
And what happens?
So I was wakeboarding 2 years ago out on Lake Lackawanna and I hit my head and it was my fourth concussion. And it totally derailed all of everything that I had going. I couldn't read for several months. I was having these crazy emotional waves of mania and depression, and I essentially couldn't work because I couldn't remember or organize anything.
Paige found herself suffering social anxiety attacks on stage. It was emotionally exhausting, but it was also a creative wellspring.
I wrote a lot because I was having these mania and depressive episodes, and you with extreme highs and extreme lows. I mean, there's just great fodder for creativity. And so I wrote, and it's the best writing I've ever done in my entire life. Like, in the thick of my concussion, like, the best writing I've ever done. And that is not like an advocacy for people to go like bang their head on a wall to like write good music at all. But right. You know, being super, super down, I just, the lyricism and everything was so much better. it's an incredibly quick process when I write. Like, this emotion, like, builds up, and then I find the guitar and the pen, and like one phrase will start the song, and honestly it just feels like it just moves through me and out into the world, and it's you know, finished in 30 minutes. So
is there also an accompanying release? I mean, that whatever was there.
Oh, absolutely. It's like
it goes with it.
Yeah, you know, it's like this build up. It's like imagine an orchestra. It starts with the strings and then it builds up and you hear the timpani drums and then all of a sudden there's the song, and then it like mellows back out. That's what it's like for me emotionally and psychologically with writing.
So do you just try to be the conductor and sort of make sure it doesn't go off the rails?
Yeah, I'm just like standing up there with the little batons going, all right, here it comes, whoosh.
Last September, Paige had recovered enough from the effects of her concussion to put out her first album. Around the same time, American Idol came calling for a third time in its 15th and final season.
I got to tell other young musicians that you don't need a television show to be a musician, and that while this is an important step in your life, you will have very many more important steps. And if you choose to work at music, you can have a career in music. And it's like going back to your high school reunion, and you were like the nerdy, awkward kid who nobody like really paid attention to, and then you come back and you're like, oh, yeah, man, I'm doing well. And that's how I felt. I walked away very happy.
So along those lines, in May, the streetcar launched.
Yeah.
I was there the opening weekend, and we get to one of the stops downtown, and the door opens, and there's Jessica Paige on a bench playing a guitar, singing lovely. And it's a really wonderful moment, because then there's a brief ding of the bell to tell you the streetcar doors are closing. You gave a small wave, the streetcar pulls away. So it was the shortest, sweetest concert I've ever attended. But what's that like for you to play on a bench? Because we don't have subways in Kansas City.
Yeah.
But now we have a streetcar. Was it a spur of the moment decision or just something you wanted to do on a nice day?
It was really hot that day, if I remember. I'm like, the streetcar day, there was just, I was like melting on that bench. But it was adorable. The little kids would wave as they went by. And you were telling the story about this streetcar, and I was just like, wow, what a great like metaphor of her life. Like, a street door opens, and then you wave at somebody, and then the street door closes, and it moves on.
So with A Beautiful Life, you wrote that in a place that's very different from Kansas City. Can you tell me a little bit about kind of how that song came to be?
So Beautiful Life, I wrote towards the end of my grandma's life, actually. I was still living with her, and I went to Panama for like a week. And her passing was not something that was going to be a surprise, obviously. It was very obvious that it was coming to an end. And I was in this relationship that I had been in for 5 years, and we lived together, and we were struggling. And I was in this beautiful place, and I just felt all of this tension of choice. Man, we live in a really privileged time in history, in a very good place in the world, and to be complaining really feels like a disservice to the privilege that I've been given in my life, at least. And that's not to say that life doesn't get hard even when it's beautiful. And so that's Beautiful Life is about making hard choices and still really understanding that the big picture is that everything will probably be okay, and life will still be beautiful even when it's really challenging. So it's a hopeful song.
If A Beautiful Life became a cocktail in your head, what kind of cocktail do you think it would be?
Oh, man. Okay. Something that's a little bit bitter but sweet. Maybe like something with grapefruit in it, or with like a citrus of some kind.
Thanks for coming in today, Jessica.
Thank you.
Jessica Paige performed Beautiful Life for an 8160 studio session at The Bridge earlier this year. Let's take a listen.
I'm hanging on a wire, and I keep looking at the ground, wondering if I let go, how long would it be until I hit the ground, and I'm dancing in a fire, and I keep waiting for the burn. I'm learning how to let go, I'm learning how to hurt, and in this beautiful love, well, I'm stuck in the crosshairs of wrong and right in this beautiful day. I'm learning that this way is the
Casey Bond smiles as the door opens at Boulevard Tavern. It's an easy smile, one that draws you all the way down the bar, which runs the length of the entire dining room. A plate of peaches and corn is in front of her, bright in the light of late summer.
Hi, Casey.
Hey, Jonathan.
Thanks for having us here at Boulevard Tavern.
Thank you for coming.
Bond was born in Kansas City, but she was also born with a bit of wanderlust. She spent several of those wandering years in New Orleans, steeped in the culture of cocktails there.
Just how to match ingredients a little more, put a different spin with some Creole French fusion.
So you came back to Kansas City, it would be 4 years ago now.
Yes.
And you got a job at a craft cocktail bar.
I did. I worked at Por Fondo when I first came back, and Travis Stewart was the bar manager there, and he is the nicest guy and so gifted when it comes to making great cocktails, and learned a ton from him.
I guess what hooked you about it, or what were the flavors and spirits that
just really so different? I like that smoky aspect, and it's just a little bit different. I love all my children. Like, as a bartender, I was like, well, what's your favorite drink or what's your favorite spirit? I'm like, well, I can't pick a favorite between all my children because everyone has something different to offer.
After Port Fonda, Bond worked in various jobs involving spirits. She was a sales rep for a winery, consulted for Union Horse Distillery, and tended bar at weddings across the metro. But the world outside Kansas City kept calling to her.
Last September, I decided that I wanted to move to the Caribbean and knew one person in St. Thomas. So I started talking to this guy about island life, and he asked me, he's like, I'm going back down this winter. I need a roommate. You in? I'm like, oh my gosh. So two suitcases and a one-way ticket later, I was in the Caribbean living on an island.
Wait, so who does that?
It was just kind of on a whim, but it worked out. And I spent an amazing winter there working on charter boats. And now I'm back in Kansas City. And it's great because everybody's going, why did you leave? I'm like, well, why wouldn't I come back? Kansas City is such an amazing place. And it really makes you appreciate each place respectively by, like, absence makes the heart grow finer. You leave for a little while and you come back, everything is new and exciting, and I'll always come back to Kansas City.
Why?
It's home. And the people here are phenomenal. I mean, you'll never meet nicer, more helpful folks.
Today, Bond finds creative outlets in a variety of ways. She works part-time arranging flowers and helping can pickles when she's not behind the bar at Boulevard Tavern.
Every little job that I have satisfies a different, I don't know, need in my life.
How's it been? Is it a good fit, or what do you like about being here?
This is the best bar that I've ever worked at. Everyone here, just for people to come into my bar, and no matter what kind of day they're having, when they leave here, I know they're going to leave in a little bit better mood because of some interaction. It is so rare to find a place where everybody is very nice to each other, everything's very organized and very professional. And very, like, we're a family. I've worked at so many places that are the complete opposite, so yeah, if it wasn't like that, I wouldn't still be here. I'm kind of over all of the, you know, the rookie moves of not helping each other out, not being nice.
That's very Kansas City of you.
I guess you could say so.
So, as part of Island Life, I presented you with the song A Beautiful Life by Jessica Paige.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about what you thought about while you were listening to it, or what struck you about the song?
Well, I love this girl. Her video is just, it's like, hey, we're going to go out and have a lot of fun during the summertime. And there's cornfields in there, there are bonfires, they're singing about just, I mean, learning lessons, life lessons, and it's, you know, it was a really neat little song, and I'm really happy that I got paired with it. And I didn't realize that it was written down in Panama. Here I am using a Mexican spirit, so it kind of, when I translated the name of the song, Beautiful Life, to Bella Vita for my cocktail, it just kind of, it worked out unexpectedly. And another reason I love Kansas City is that it seems like everything just kind of works out the way it's supposed to here. They just kind of mesh together.
Were there elements of the song that inspired particular elements in the cocktail?
Absolutely. So, cornfields in summertime, so I wanted to use the fresh ingredients, like corn was the main thing, because who uses corn in cocktails? Not many people. And then peaches, because they're in season, they're so delicious right now. And there's peaches and cream sweet corn, so I thought maybe I could do a play on that. So I started tinkering with some ingredients and came up with what I think is a pretty good cocktail.
Would you make us the drink?
I would love to. All right, so first off, I'm going to take 1.5 ounces of sweet corn and 1/4 of a fresh peach. We're going to muddle those together. It's nice and macerated.
And what does the muddling do for the cocktail?
It just kind of, this is squeezing the juices and pulp out of the fruit and the corn. So, we're gonna take a nice base leaf. We're gonna smack it to bring the oils and aromas to the front. 1.5 ounces of Bacanora. 1/2 ounce of this Rothman and Winter Orchard peach.
What do you like about that spirit?
It's just like a peach in a bottle. It's super juicy, super aromatic, really, really peachy. I'm gonna do 2 bar spoons of freshly squeezed lemon juice and 1/2 ounce, just a scant 1/2 ounce of simple syrup. So now I'm gonna add some ice to my cocktail. I'm going to double strain to get all of that pulp out of there because I want this to be a nice, smooth, and creamy cocktail. And for the garnish, we've got a fresh basil leaf. And a sprinkling of smoked paprika.
So why the smoked paprika at the end?
I like that it brings out the smokiness of the agave spirit and beautiful color, and the pepper just kind of rounds everything out.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Okay, so there is smokiness and sweetness all at once. I mean, it hits you sweet right up front. And then there's that beautiful smoky finish that's still lingering, almost like barbecue.
Yeah.
Was that your intention? How did you sort of imagine it hitting the palate?
I like to combine a lot of different flavors. I don't want sweet. And like every good cocktail is well balanced, but I like to bring in something fun. So I'll do savory and sweet, or spicy and savory with a little bit of sweetness. Like I like to combine a lot of flavors. I want to like just explode in your mouth. Oh my God, there's so much going on. It's delicious.
Well, so there's real creaminess and that cool refresh. I mean, I can see why you think it's a summer cocktail, because it really does feel nice and refreshing without being cloying.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is really, really fun. Thank you.
That's it for this week's episode, but tune in next week when we pair Black Flannel and Ryan Mabey to make one track and one cocktail for Mixtapes and Mixology. Mixtapes and Mixology is produced by Sarah Bradshaw, Dan Calderon, Jonathan Bender, and Kirsten McCudden. This is a production of The Bridge and Flatland, KCPT's digital magazine, in collaboration with Recommended Daily. For other episodes, video interviews, and cocktail recipes, go to bridge909.org or follow us at #MakeMeAMix.